What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Thursday Night CrossFit Talk. Party started.
I feel like that intro is more of a banger. Like some of your other intros, they're sometimes like slow. Like ours is just fire.
This, you have to, and this is behind the curtain stuff, but you have to find royalty-free music or you have to pay for it every time it goes. And sometimes it's hit or miss. Sometimes I can dig for like a half an hour and find nothing. Then the next day, like I get three in a row that are just awesome. This one, like I've kept it for a long time.
It's fine.
I just checked out your thumbnail. That is hilarious that you use that picture. Yes, that is me.
Yeah.
Which one?
So I'll pull it up just so everybody can see it. Let me, because there is discussion in the chat about it.
Yeah.
So this is the thumbnail for tonight's show. Here we go. And so the picture that I used to say that quarterfinals are here.
That was quarterfinals.
Jamie from last year's quarterfinals. That was the thruster workout, right?
Yeah. Yep. Thruster row, that open repeat workout. Ew.
She gave everything she had on that one. And then she tried it again and only went halfway and said, nope, not worth it.
Sometimes you got to make that call. If you know you're not going to beat it, make the call. It's the worst when you try to hold on and then you're like, you're looking at the clock. You're like, I'm not going to beat it. You're just holding on for dear life. It's like, no, make the call. Stop it.
Yeah.
So that was fun. I was just going through my pictures and I was like, no, that's perfect. It's a great picture for quarterfinals. Might have to break it out again in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or get some new ones when I'm up there in 2 weeks.
Let's go.
So, Kenneth's already on the TV talk. My TV watching has been down. This week, I actually watched a lot of women's basketball. Carolyn has got me into it. And now I like it better than men's. I think the game is more exciting. And that LSU-Iowa game, if you didn't like that, you're not a sports fan.
They had 12.3 million views on that game. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it's like more than like any NHL game, more than like the NBA finals of the last few years. Like it was, did really, really well.
The only thing that was a bummer is that Angel Reese went out with the ankle.
Yeah, she wasn't the same after.
No.
Because she was dominant, kind of picked her shots when she wanted. Like, no one can stop her. The Iowa, like, center isn't as big and tall, so, like, she was having her own there.
Yeah, so Kenneth says that's how he feels about CrossFit. He looks forward to the women's competition more than the men. I don't doubt that.
I like them both equally.
So, I watched that. And then I watched the first Dune again because I want to watch the second one. I've heard great things about it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to remember it all. Because my whole family fell asleep during the first one, except for me. And so I watched alone. And I think I missed out on some details. And I just wanted to watch it again. And it was really good the second time.
I'll have to watch that. We watched Three Body Problem. Have you watched it?
No.
No? Oh, it's no. Like, it's pretty, I feel like it's kind of big right now. I don't know. It's like based on books, very sci-fi-ish. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like you got to be like super smart to grip.
I watched four baseball games. I watched the women's tournament games. So I was really sports heavy and my Pirates started 5-0, which is like for a Pirates fan that like in 1970s was the last time we had a decent team. So.
Yes. It's the new Netflix series. I think it came out like maybe 2 weeks ago. and it's 6 episodes, I think. So it's not like super long, but it's, I think it's a 3-book series. So there's supposed to be more coming out.
Oh, and I did watch Wonka.
Oh, I went home and I watched the new Godzilla and Kong movie.
How was that?
3D. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I went home. I got to see my family and then watched lots of basketball all weekend. All the women's game. I don't think I watched any of the men's game. And I'm pumped for the Final Four this weekend, Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, the women play Friday night, right? And then then the men play over the weekend. Andrew Sten binged the new season of Full Swing. I've heard that's great. I have not watched an episode of it. I may have to figure that out.
Same.
Heard that's good, and heard the Formula One version is pretty good. So, well, that's our TV for the week. If you guys weren't with us about 2 hours ago, we interviewed Coach Justin Kotler. In addition to talking about his athletes for this season and having a female and a male both poised to possibly podium, we talked about his reactions to the Daniel Brandon documentary. And I think he was very open and transparent with us during that interview. Yeah. If you have not seen it, it's our show, but I highly suggest you pick that up. Holly, our stats person, has been so awesome to make chapters for our shows over the last week and a half.
I had noticed that. It's fun.
Awesome. It's all chaptered up. If you only have time to jump to the Justin part, it's chaptered up and you can do that. And thank you to Holly Dugan, the best stats person in the business and such a huge help to me in the show. So... Ken says, I feel like there's still so much more we don't know about the underdog and DBE story, and that's okay. If you listen to the reel I made, Justin said he had to be delicate about it because there are parts of it that are just really nobody's business.
Right. Yeah. I don't know that the details matter. And, I mean, you can tell they are both very passionate individuals, which is, I think that's partly why people are drawn to Justin as a coach, because he's clearly passionate. And that's a draw about Danielle, is she's so passionate. But yeah, sometimes it's like that can be an explosive environment too, right? Like, who knows? It doesn't really matter. He clearly still cares about her. And you can tell that just by, like, when you still care about somebody and you want the best for them. And that was evident in the wanting to grow. Like, you want to know that, like, she's taken this all in and learned from it and she's growing. That's ultimately what I get out from him.
I'm biased because Justin is a good friend of mine. When he came out on this show to say, you know, these are the parts I played in that, this is where I'm to blame, that even caught me off guard because I was so defensive of him. I wasn't even thinking of it in the reverse. And he said, I could have done this better. Which I applaud him for.
I'm sure there was growth on both sides of it, you know?
So. Yeah. So that just happened a couple hours ago. I got a reel out. Go check it out. Go check out the documentary. Or not the documentary. Wait, check that out too. Check it all out. But the episode is 789, I think. It's all chaptered up. So go check it out. Plus, it's a good interview about the teams because he was in the middle of that today. And after the DB thing, he talked about Ricky and Alex and all his other athletes. And then we actually opened it up to chat questions for the last 10 minutes or so. And just, I tried to get it to be rapid fire. I don't think you'll ever get there with Justin. But he's Docker. We tried.
That's all right.
So team quarterfinal workouts were released yesterday. I'm sure you guys have had a time to digest that. The kind of the universal sentiment seems to be meh or fine. What are your impressions?
Or if you're Taylor, he hates it. He thinks they're all repetitive and just not creative enough. I kind of went over this on the interview with Justin. I think it's just different for teams, like, especially because you aren't establishing your team. I think maybe they could revamp how they do things, and you can only register six in the open. And then what you test in the open is relevant and transfers through. But as it stands, you could have used anyone's score. And I feel like you almost have to retest some of those things that you just tested to make sure the four that you're going to put on the floor can actually put up scores for those workouts.
Yeah. My favorite of the workouts is the first one, and I'll pull that up. And what's disappointing to me, and this happens every year, is that the workout I want to see can't be seen because it's a quarterfinal workout.
Yeah.
Right? Like this, every time they've done these where it's fatigue the body and then do max this, I think that would be fun to watch, especially for a team that's trying to gain popularity. It reduces the number of people on the competition floor for each aspect of the event. Because in this one, is it one female, one male goes, or is it two?
Yeah, it's a male and a female, male, female pair together.
Male-female yeah. pair. You go, yep. you do the thing synchro, and then you go to max muscle-ups, alternating however you wish. I think that the immediacy of trying to get as many muscle-ups as you can would be fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And then they get a little bit of rest, and then they get to do it again. So it's this, like, over and over again, how much will they fatigue? And we never get to see those. They're always in these, like, last chance qualifiers or these quarterfinal events that unless you go to someone's gym, you're not going to see it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so this one starts with a nice interval, two on, two off, I guess, which they had a similar format at the games last year when they had that ski erg, rope climb, seated legless rope climb, and then it was like max barbell of something in the remaining time, and then your partners went, like, one was on the ski, one was on the legless, they kind of finished. So you've been seeing a lot of that, like, 2 minutes on, 2 minutes off in the teams the last couple of years, so I do like that. I think the max muscle-ups here, you're definitely going to get a lot more of the, normally, the male athletes are a little bit better at hanging on to the rings very long, so if you have someone on your team that's just a stud on the rings. I mean, let's say you have, 10 and 10. You're looking at 30 seconds, 45 seconds. Let's say you have at least a minute on the rings, if not maybe a minute 10, a minute 15 on the rings. Like, some people could stay on the rings pretty long. And then it becomes, are they allowed to have two sets of rings at two different heights? Or does it have to be one set? Because having to slow those down for your partner, like, that could be a factor if you have to have only one set of rings. If they're allowed two, then that timing of, like, jumping on as soon as the other one gets off, like, at a different set of rings could be, the difference between one or two reps each round, which is definitely, going to make a difference in the long run. But I haven't looked at the standards if they're allowed two sets of rings.
I think it might be two sets of rings.
So then as long as it's easy on the camera and they're both in the frame, nice and easy. As soon as that athlete comes down, you better be jumping.
Mm-hmm.
Cause then you can maybe do smaller sets if you need to, but I still think you got to have big sets. You want least amount of transitions here, I think, but I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, that's going to be
one pair of rings.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Then you got to stay on longer.
And then the height becomes an issue, right? Because if you have a tall guy and those rings are pretty tall, that girl that's going to have to jump all of a sudden needs that male athlete to boost her up. Yeah. So that first athlete needs to stay on for a while. So that, and then make sure that,
you know, don't riser if needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're putting that in place. You're either throwing her up there or putting a riser in place after he gets out of the way. It's, there's just transition to this that is going to play a role for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think as many as you can do. Yep.
Corey says that Chase says doing big unbroken sets is the way to go. And I think that sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah. If you only have one set of rings, then absolutely. Then it has to be big sets because you don't want to be playing with those rings jumping up at, like, you have no time.
Yep.
Big set.
I think by round three, people are going to be shocked at how smoked they are.
When you have that front rack that gets your shoulders tired, then you're pressing off the floor. So yeah. Your shoulders are tired there. So how much can you recover in those 2 minutes after doing a large set of muscle ups? Like I said, those athletes that are good gymnasts, it's going to come down to the gymnastics here for sure. The weight's not heavy enough that it's kind of everyone's doing those front squats relatively at the same time, unless they're pausing a lot at the top. Burpees are similar pace. So this one's a muscle up workout.
An interesting note, the resting teammates may assist the partner in the rings or move and set the riser.
Makes sense. Still.
I think those athletes are going to want to rest too. And then they need to be ready at their bar to start their burpees or at the minute too. Like, I don't think that they can focus that much on helping out too much.
Yeah. Yeah. This one would be cool to watch though. You're right, Scott.
Yeah. And then we go to event two, test two, 50, 30, 20 reps for time of alternating dumbbell snatches, all team synchro. Wow. What a judging nightmare that is. Toes to bar pair synchro.
Yep. Grippy.
Very grippy.
But four synchro, that's just a judging nightmare.
It is a judging nightmare.
Two judges, I'm assuming, because they're going simultaneously.
Yeah, but the two judges then have to be in like really good eye contact. It's probably just synchro at the top, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, for the dumbbell snatchers, it's just synchro at the top, but the toes to bars, you have one judge for one pair and then one judge for the other pair.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's when they're all four going.
Do you have to accumulate the amount of reps together, or it has to be split evenly for the toes to bars?
Carolyn.
I'm going back to the thingy notes.
I'm getting there.
I would be
prepared for all your questions.
I'm looking at the flow of the workout. So 30 pair, so 30 toes, 50 toes to bar synchronized.
In two pairs, each pair completes 50 synchro toes to bar.
So each pair completes 50. Yeah. So you're basically done on your weakest pair. You have to wait before you get back to the snatch until that last pair has done their toes to bars. So if you have one group that's much better at their toes to bars, like, they don't need to go that fast because they're going to be waiting anyways for the limiting factor of the.
Yeah, all four accumulate the dumbbells at the same time.
Yeah.
And then the pairs each.
So it's each doing 50.
Yeah, but are they up on the bar at the same time?
Yes.
Oh, so all four on the bar, just somebody needs to watch to it, like two judges.
Yeah, you have one judge, another judge. Once they're both done there, then they kind of meet back up and do their snatches, which I kind of like that format. It's kind of cool. You see that in competition. You don't see it online very often. I like it.
I do like it. I know a lot of people, it does suck that you're at your lowest man's capability, but I feel like that's the case sometimes, and we can't always hide your weakest link. Like, we need to see who that is, where that is, and
And on the toes to bar, this was a note in there. You don't need to keep the same pairs for every set.
Okay.
So I think you have to keep them the same for 50. But when you go to 30, you can switch.
Would you?
Again. I don't know.
You would, like, would you put your two weakest ones together that they can go on a, like, a slower pace? Or do you put a strong? Does it matter? You're basically just off your weakest athlete there. In that specific, they might not be your weakness, but in that movement. Like,
I don't know. I'd probably put, I would maybe do a strong, like your strongest with your weakest in this one. And then maybe swap pairs later. It's not going to matter. That's the lowest person.
It doesn't matter. It's just on the, if that person wants to be encouraged by someone or kind of depends on the personality maybe that you're with and the timing of the toast of it, I guess. Who you time better that you don't get any no reps.
Right. And usually you're better if you're really good at toe to bar, you can hold or like make sure that it's synchro.
Yeah. So you would go, so then you would go with your top one. That right. They can adjust to your timing and you're making sure every rep that that person's doing, you're making it count.
Yeah. I like this one.
All right.
Personally, but.
Test 3.
I was surprised with
female, female pairs for time. Pair 1, followed by pair 2. 500 meter row, 50 handstand pushups. One station switch is needed, 50 synchro wall ball shots. Then pair 1, followed by pair 2. Back through.
Yep.
The one comment Justin made on our show is that kipping handstand pushups are too easy at this level.
That's what I'm surprised with this one is we haven't seen kipping handstand pushups in a very long time. I feel like it's been basically strict wall facing now. If there's deficit, you might then I think you'll see kipping a lot, whether it's a parallel or like on a plate, you'll see the kipping there. But to a flat floor, 50, a lot of athletes at that level, especially the top athletes, are able to kip 50. Some of them can do strict almost 50. I can't, but like...
Yep, strict would have been better.
Yeah, that was
more like Justin said, deficit.
Surprise. Mm-hmm. And his big concern about this is what's going to happen at semis? Like, how big of a jump are you going to make? Because you can't go from kipping to then at semis make it deficit strict or something even more difficult.
Yep.
They can do what they want, Scott. They'll do what they want.
Yeah, they can do what they want, but
they can't do it. Oh, well, they can. You've seen them do it before. They'll just throw whatever. Like,
and yes, there will be people standing around unable to do the movement at semis. It happens every year, especially in certain regions. But even in East and West, there are teams that make it to semifinals that cannot do. I mean, there was teams at semis last year that couldn't do strict the wall facing handstand pushups. They just couldn't do it. One of their teammates would get there and everyone had to do it. And so they would just be stuck there.
So Kenneth asks, why can't you? Corey kind of asks the same thing. And that's the key. Then you're putting the wrong people through. And then when you up the game at semis to something way more skillful, then there's a lot of people who can't do it. And you have just people standing around. And then you wonder why nobody goes to semis to watch the teams because you get a lot of.
Well, when you say, doesn't it just make it a race capacity thing? Well, it makes it a race, not a capacity thing. It would need to be like another two more rounds of this to even get approach the capacity thing. It is a race and it's going to be by seconds. And that's just kind of silly. There needs to be a little bit of separation.
The synchro wall balls. I mean, if there's teams breaking that, I guess, then maybe there.
I don't know. That's going to be two. Even if you go 30, 20 or 35, 15, like it's a drop and a go. Like, I don't know.
You'll still see some separation. I think
like it's not, we see it every year where people get through to semis that have no business being there.
Yep.
And that's what we should be trying to eliminate. And we're really getting a conflict of interest now because we're being inclusive with quarters for the 25%. But yet it's not going to help. That's not going to help make sure we get the right people to semis.
Yeah. So a couple years ago, we had the ball to the 10-foot target for the females, right? And now we're back at the 9-foot target. So that's also another point there.
Yeah, that really surprises me.
Because I thought, like, open, okay, 9, sure. And then I thought, in my head, people that are going to the quarterfinals, females, train to the 10. The only time I'll go to the 9 is the odd time I'll do 20. I'll alternate between doing 20 pounds to 9 and doing 20 pounds to 10 sometimes too. But for the most part, I think, I mean, we are shorter. So.
Yeah.
It's okay. But this one's easier to judge the video than the previous one. Like the previous one, if you're video reviewing that on the toaster bars, you got to watch a whole set of of these two pairs. Then you got to rewind it again and watch the same set, but now you got to look at the other two. Right? Because
Yeah.
Like that's got to be hard on the judges or just time consuming. That last one or the second one that we just went over.
Yep.
Then we finish up with, again, female, female, male, male pairs. As many reps as possible in 15 minutes of 30 deadlifts. Then the males come in and do 30 deadlifts. Then 30 shoulder to overhead. Then 30 shoulder to overhead. And you keep going. You just keep going for 15 minutes.
I love it.
This is their strength one a little bit.
I mean, 15 minutes is a long time to do this. I think there's going to be some separation.
What's the weight on the shoulder to overhead? Is it 125? One? Oh, there you go, 125. Yeah. 85. Well, I was just looking at the first call. 85. And, like, that number is interesting, too, because, like, to me, 185 goes with 135, especially for, like, lower body movements like front squats. I think that we're 135 is good. Deadlift, I still think 205 is too light compared to the 315. I think 215 to 225 is actually closer to what guys feel on the 315. And then a shoulder to overhead, I think that's where guys are a little bit stronger. Like that's where I see often the 125 with 185. And maybe they just want to keep that consistency. But for many years, it was 185, 135. For at least like squat cleans, front squats, things that were, I guess, more lower body.
Yeah.
Well, the world's greatest deadlifter is going to say that the deadlift weight is light.
Yeah. No. I think
that's the same weight they would do cleans, right? So like, like at 19.2 and 16.2, I think the toaster bar double under clean one, 19.2, I think. There's such a big difference between the guys having to do 315 and the girls doing 205. I think at 215, let's go 215, 215, 315. I think is better.
The chat seemed to agree. The women's weight seems light, not for the shoulder to overhead, but for the deadlift.
For the deadlift, yeah.
So those are the workouts. Then I have Holly's spreadsheet. Let me...
You've shown everyone our notes now.
I have her Instagram, which is much abbreviated, to present. So...
Scott, everyone's reading all our secret notes.
There. It's gone. I used to just take the notes and make them the notes for the show.
Yeah.
Like in the on YouTube so people can just see.
Yeah.
So here's Holly's Instagram. Make sure you follow her at DataWad on IG. So here's the top 10 games teams. So this is from last year to this year. And look at the difference. Like, there's a whole bunch that aren't even, don't even have teams.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, but like some of those, I would say just, I mean, Mayhem just changed. They just don't have an independence anymore, right? Like,
right. It's just Mayhem. Still a Mayhem
team. So I almost feel like you could have just starred that and put the other team in there as that one.
But like OBA is no longer there.
Yeah. There's no Oslo team.
There are like Oslo
109 team. People qualifying or something like that to the quarters.
There are just, I don't think
they just didn't name it like that. But sometimes when you get a podium win that, and you don't feel like you have a competitive team to really have that name. Sometimes you just switch the team name, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Mayhem Freedom, right? Like, I don't think that Rich is going to put that name unless there's going to be a competitive team that could like actually
I think I heard
under that name. Like, I think that there's pride in that particular name and there's history there.
Yeah. I think he said it's retired.
Yeah.
That was going to be the ones that he was on.
Okay. Right.
So she did a lot of stuff. Here's the movements for year over year. Try to blow it up a little. Just to see if there's been any. So I think the one thing that I think has happened is in previous years, you have Olympic lifts, you have GHD sit-ups, you have rope climbs, you have handstand walks. None of those are there now.
Nope.
So there's no snatch, right? There's a dumbbell snatch, but there's no barbell snatch.
There's no Olympic lift.
And then there's no clean and jerk. Clean. So that means that semis, there's got to be just one of them at least. Well, there's both, but one of them.
We've had GHDs.
I'm glad to not see that though. GHDs and rope climbs.
I'm bummed. I love both of those.
They're okay. Like they're not bad for me, but I think there's an advantage in different types of ropes at different gyms. Like our ropes
totally
sometimes are so slippery. Yeah. Or we have one good one, and because we had one good one, it got used so much that it's literally on a thread.
Yeah.
And that means like I'd have to use a very, very slippery, and it's just like that's a factor.
Yeah.
I agree. Like most of the other pieces of equipment, I feel like it's even playing game, but rope climbs. Yeah. And like, I like reaching, like it's a 20-foot that I can just reach to a tape. Like ours is like higher up, then there's a big knot. It's just, I don't like that. That I don't want that to play a factor.
So Holly says, I haven't gone through yet and look at all the individual athletes from the teams. Holly, you can't. The way
don't do that.
Nobody is even declaring until probably this weekend, and they only have to declare six, and it doesn't even have to be the same as semis.
I think if you go in right now, you can see who's on the team. If you go into the quarterfinals leaderboard right now, even though there are no scores in, it's blind. I think you can see the six names associated with that team. And that'll be the same for semis. And I mean, they're not going to be able to change two extra alternates out for semis. They can't do that. Like you have six now and that's it. So she could go in now and look at the leaderboard of the teams that have signed up for quarterfinals and narrow it down.
Yeah. But Holly puts out great stuff. She collaborates with me on most. So you can either check it out at DataWad on Instagram or Clydesdale Media. And check all that stuff out. She's been working very hard these last couple weeks. So now I got to go back to my notes, my top secret notes. So I have a question. This was brought up by James Hobart in Death By. And it just struck me that he hates synchro and he's over it. And he wants it. He thinks the teams would be much more fun to watch without synchro. So I'm asking, I want to ask you two, what do you think? Do you think that it's necessary to test synchro if you're on a team, or do we need to get over that and make it more visually stimulating?
I would say I personally like to see synchro movements. Like, I think that is visually stimulating. So.
And like the one thing that like the whole team has to synchronize all the time is the worm, right? And in an online format, like you have to have some sort of teamwork synchronization, because I think that that's going to transfer more over to, you know, teamwork and preparing for a worm than if you have four individual athletes. Like, I don't know if I like three workouts with synchro out of the four. I think that might be a little much, but I mean, it's not like every movement of every workout is synchro. So that's, I don't know. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you got to have the synchro in there.
I definitely think you have to have it in there.
Here's my argument. I'm sitting in the Coliseum. Teams come out on the floor. We're at 1/10 capacity at that point, because people don't want to watch it. And when you get multiple people in small areas, it gets really hard to decipher even who's on what team. You know, add in the no bull lack of color. Like, you can't even tell who's on what team, and it's just one big cluster on the floor. Do we need to rethink what the team competition is to make it more fan friendly?
Teams of two. Teams of three. So three girls, three guys, or teams of two.
What do you want to see? Do you want to see one person go do you want like a waterfall start, someone go to a whole workout, and then someone else come on the floor and do a whole workout and keep doing that until the whole team's finished? Like, for me, teams is about the affiliates. And I've never been like a great fan of the super teams. Like, I don't care if you get the four best athletes from around the world, if they can't, that's what I liked about Rich's team. They clearly train together and they move so well together. That was visually pleasing to me. I like that they can synchro. I don't want super teams. I want people that work together day in and day out and move well together. That's cool to me, but I might be in the minority.
No, I like the synchro. I think it's easier to see two people working at once and see the synchronization than a cluster F of people just running back and forth, tagging this, that. And you're like, oh my God, which lane am I looking at? Everyone's moving everywhere. Like, I actually think synchro, you're working and you can actually, there's more people working at the same thing. So it's actually easier to see than a bunch of people at different places or waiting. But yeah. I still think a mixture of everything. Like, you can have one waterfall, you can have one synchro, you can have one that's here's a chipper and split it up how you want. Now there's like some strategy that you can work on your strengths and weaknesses. Like, I think a little bit of each style of team workouts is nice. Interval style, or, you know, you go, I go type thing.
So I think maybe we're keeping it too much inside the box. What I'm thinking is, you're a team, right? You need to accomplish a goal together as a team. It doesn't need to be synchro. Like, you have this barbell and you have to get it down the floor and you have to do so much of this, move it forward, so much of that, move it forward, so much of this. As a team, figure it out. Like, you've got to get this thing done, this amount of work done. We don't see any stuff like, I hearken back to the bob, right? Remember when they had to move the bob, do so many pull-ups on the bob, do so much of this. Then you had to slide the bob to the next station, get this amount of work done.
The best event was last year with the bob and that rope and pulling, and then you go on your run. You had this, like, you were carrying the sandbags to the bob.
But you remember the big
over under the log, that was teamwork. That was fun.
But they had the big bob where they had pull-up bars, and it had, like, you could do a lot of stuff on it.
But you can't do that in the quarterfinals.
Right. I'm saying like,
you like those events. I still think that like eventually I think they're going to move to a 3 or a 2 player team. I think maybe eventually.
Yeah, I think
for the simple of fun, like it's just easier on the eyes than
I think the worm is boring as hell to watch. I'm done. Like I am over the worm.
Even the earthworm.
Now that is not that I would.
I got freaking catapulted.
I would watch that in a heartbeat. But the conventional worm, I've seen it too many times. It's a crutch for the team competition. And it takes up so much space you can't see from lane to lane to lane. My opinion. There it is.
All right. Andrew doesn't like mine. Andrew thinks that smaller teams would be even less exciting. I don't know. I think you put two strong guys together, two good girls together, and it's just like teams of three, like Wodapalooza, like those are exciting. Like
I think they're good for
special events, like
exhibition. Yeah, like that's cool. Like I just don't think that needs to be a games.
You guys are defending it, but nobody's watching it.
I watch the teams. I don't know what you're talking about.
You and three other people.
I also watched the Masters.
I was invested last year because I got to test them. So I was like, how are they going to do on this workout? But normally,
I was in there watching.
I watched when Rich. I watched because of Rich.
But there's only so many of us nerds around.
Oh, we got to find more fellow nerds.
We ain't finding more nerds. We've got to evolve and bring in more people.
We do.
So speaking of which, I'm going to move on to my next subject. Unless you guys have anything else to say about teams. Last week, I think it was on Savon, Fee was asked to do a Fee versus whatever for quarterfinals. On that show, she agreed. I have not seen anything followed up with that or anything advertised, so I don't know if they got it in writing or whatever. But we said last week we needed more female representation in these things, and that happened the next day.
Yeah.
So I was happy for that.
Yeah.
It is obvious that there is a community starving for this kind of content earlier in the season, and that it can be done without full-on production. Right? So, is this the future to grow the sport? Because this is how people are going to know new people's names, or people who haven't gotten exposure get to know those athletes. Can this be replicated and done throughout not only the elite division, but the age groups as well, and even adaptive?
I'm
not naive enough to think they're going to bring in the numbers of the elite, but
right. I think if the right people consistently promoted these additional things, maybe, but I don't know.
If CrossFit doesn't promote it, I think it's just within the community of people that watch, like, let's say it's Sevon's people that are just watching, or Barbell Spin people that are watching. Like, but you need, for it to actually be bigger, you need CrossFit to come behind it and like be like, watch, you know, Fee versus the best at Crash or whatever it's going to be, and then show some clips and then draw some attention to it. But if CrossFit doesn't buy fully into it, I just think it's just within the super fans of each media outlet.
Yeah.
It's the same people that are watching. It's the people that are already fans. It's not growing in new fans, I don't think. Well, it could be if it's like a Road to the Games type thing and you're following that athlete, like if Taylor does, you know, the quarterfinals, and then you're kind of following his whole season, you're getting a glimpse of him just
I doing think this, what it, like what it changes is for those outside the community, if you want them to see one 15-minute contest, it's going to be a lot easier to grab their attention for 15 minutes than 4 days.
Agreed. I mean, I think it is a way to introduce new athletes. Just some, like, whether it's Savan or Barbell Spin or whatever one you want to say is like the biggest one. If they're going to do one, they probably should bring in other names occasionally to try to introduce new people. That, I mean, I think that's how it's going to grow. Like, whatever becomes the hub of this. I mean, like, I've tried to, we're trying to offer that. I'm trying to give you the Versus series every week, but we have a much smaller following. Unless Savan talks about my Versus series or shows it or gets some, like, it's not going to get the thousands of views that he does. I mean, we're trying to offer it to you guys.
You would need CrossFit to be like, hey, this is a cool thing. Because now, you know, it gets posted on the CrossFit Games or on the CrossFit pages, and that draws even way more even than, yeah, you know, someone like Savan or Be Friendly or Get With The Program. All those, there's so many.
Yeah, it would be cool if CrossFit
at the end of the day, you need, like, it's CrossFit that could really push it even more.
Yeah, and I think that what we're doing with the three age groups in there, it's really is cool. more up their alley of showing, like,
absolutely
varying levels. Like, it'd be cool if they would just share the reel or
it's just anything. Yeah, it's just your workout, everything.
Yeah.
So I think smaller snacks are going to be better at drawing in new people than a big long competition. But I brought up something like right after this show started, like a year ago, when we first started doing this, Jamie, about championship belts for specific movements.
Mm-hmm. CrossFitters would never get it.
So hold on.
CrossFitters would never win it.
Hold on. This coming week, we're going to have Jake Berman versus Colton Mertens for the fastest 100 burpees. Is that not exactly what I pitched a year ago?
You did. You did do the burpees. I think I can't remember if we did.
Well, I didn't
name facing burpees
specifically. Yeah. But yeah, you pick a movement, or you pick a hero workout, or you pick something that you become the champion of. You win a belt that says you're the greatest, and you keep that belt until some challenger comes and beats you.
Yeah.
And the thing about a burpee is it's not exclusive to CrossFit. So if you have, like, the burpee champion, 100 burpees for time, and someone wants to take them on and they're not from CrossFit, that only is an opportunity to gain more people.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And you could do that with pull-ups. You could do it with muscle-ups. You could do it with...
Yeah, just most of the movements would not be pure CrossFitters. They'd be specialists in Olympic lifting. They'd be a gymnast. They would be a rowing person. If it was like a one, like most of them, like, were more generalists than specialists. And even if we do have a specialty in CrossFit, I'm sure if there was someone outside of CrossFit that would be better at that particular thing, if they knew about it, type thing.
Yeah, but aren't we trying to grow?
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And we want to expand outside the walls.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see the burpee one.
And the burpee one's what, 5 minutes tops?
Oh, they're going to be faster than that.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, but you have a whole show in less than 5 minutes. Like, it's going to be like Kentucky Derby or like those events in sports where people get all pumped and ready, and there's a pregame, and then the actual thing is only a few minutes long.
Yep.
I'm not trying to get rid of the methodology. I'm not trying to get rid of what CrossFit training is around the world, but you have to get eyes on people, right? And we're not growing right now. So you got to grow somehow.
I agree.
So they're not gimmicks, Andrew. There's going to be standards for 100. You name a standard for it, and you can make it the CrossFit standard. And if Colton beats Jake, he gets the belt, and he gets to tout that he is the fastest burpee person in all the land. It's not a gimmick. It's not. It is not.
I mean, what it's,
if Andrew, you want to die on that hill with the six people that are watching the CrossFit Games in 6 years?
Would you be more behind like a Fran championship of the world, Diane championship of the world? Like, would you be more behind that? Some of the benchmarks?
I'm okay with any of it. Anything that gets eyes on the sport and is short enough that it doesn't take away from someone's training.
I love that he is bringing Tim Murray in. Like, I like that it's giving the adaptive some exposure.
A platform. Yeah, I like the fact that, like, we get to see an adaptive athlete, you know, do the same. And it gives us a perspective of the fittest in that division last year. Him and they tied. But they, you know, you get to see what type of scores they have, if it's compatible in this particular movement. Like, that's exciting.
I think that he should have went over just a barbell on the ground. No weights, just the barbell laying on the ground.
Or somehow, like, measure it, like, what distance is it from, I don't know, it would maybe be too complicated, from the knee, like, what is it for Colton, whatever, and just kind of adjust it for him to the same type of distance.
So Kevin Ogar was brought in to say, what is the scale? And he said, just a straight burpee, but Tim Murray is still going to do over a bar.
I think it should be over a bar, but I think it should be over a empty barbell. So he's still going back and forth. He just isn't that hop is going to take it out of him, I think. But
yeah, out of the legs.
Yeah, that's high for him.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, is there a way to maybe put 5 or 10 pound metal plates where it's just right, a little bit lower, but not quite to the ground type thing, like maybe halfway. Like some of the people did, I think it was OPEX people a few years ago in 16.1, when you had the overhead lunges and burpees, and you had a group of people that did the bar facing burpees over, they had all the change plates.
Oh, nice.
Yep. And then that became a rule of, no, this diameter actually needs to be for bar facing burpees.
Yeah,
I might be throwing OPEX under the ground or under the bus, but I think it was someone from that gym or something.
Yeah, I remember it happening. I don't know who, but yeah, I remember the picture sitting IG.
So something like that could be an adjustment.
So you both are good burpee people. Mm-hmm. Could you take someone on one-on-one and win? Who do you think would be your toughest competition?
In 100?
I mean, I feel like there's people that, trying to think, some of the fastest girls.
Emma Carey would be hard to beat, I think.
Yeah.
She's just someone that just, like, she's that Emma Carey, I think McQuaid's really good. Fee would be really good. Holta, Cara.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Green or Simmons. I mean, these are your open type athletes. Mm-hmm. I'm naming the people that are the best in the open right now. Like, people that are just good at burpees and suffering and feet. There's a lot of people.
I don't think I could beat.
And probably there's a bunch that I'm not even thinking of, and they'd be beating all of them if it was just a burpee. Because normally they're limited by something else in the workout.
Yeah. Probably that Mir Jam would win.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what she does.
You want us to do it and see what we get? Is that what you're asking, Scott?
I don't know. We could do our own.
Scott's mad right now because Andrew tore down his idea. You can tell.
He did not tear down my idea. My idea has been out there for a year, and now people are doing it.
Yeah.
So it's only made me stronger.
We got to get the belt, though.
Yeah.
Like the Fuselier belt.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah. Now, if you won like the deadlift, like 50 deadlifts for time, and you won that belt, wouldn't you hang it up and be really proud of it?
I don't know if I'd hang it up, but I'd be proud of it.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, it would be cool. Yeah. For sure.
And the reason I bring this up is there are people making attempts at this, right? The reps ahead, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the reps ahead is a really good concept too. I like that.
Did you watch reps ahead yet last week, Scott?
I have not. Every time I tuned in, it hadn't started. And then I got into other things. Easter weekend was just busy.
Yeah.
With family, so.
I watched the reps ahead. It was good. That one's just dependent on what type of workout you're going to program. You just don't know, because sometimes you can just hit a wall and all of a sudden that person just takes the lead. Like, you just don't know. It's hard to predict how the programming will turn out. And I mean, that's sports really. But I like the concept of it where it's like, you're trying to beat the person versus the workout. And it's like, maybe you just start really fast and see if the person kind of reacts, and then you get put in a red zone really fast, and all of a sudden, oh no, you know, you got to come back, but then maybe it's too late. And I like that. There's some strategy involved. You can pace off someone, or you can just kind of wait for your turn.
I don't know if you guys saw Tim Paulson's idea.
I have not. But
it was like echo bike to get reps ahead. And then you put it on a monitor so you can see where each person is. And Tim goes, it would come down to who was willing to die in the sprint. Like,
why am I not surprised?
Yeah.
This was his idea.
But
the full send.
Isn't it a cool concept? And it may not be something you want to participate in, but there are people like Hopper and Tim and
Roman
who would jump at that chance, and to watch it where you had to get like 10 cows ahead. And like, there's gamesmanship.
You know what that reminds me of is the foam rolling game where two people on the assault bike, and then you're kind of waiting until, and then you go and the other person matches, and then you're just like, okay, you win. And then the foam roll. Yeah. Do you know which game I'm talking about?
Yep, we do that. We've done that at the gym.
That's what that reminds me of. It's just like, can you match it? You kind of react to that person's effort. That one's tough. And then all of a sudden you're just like, no, I give up. Like, go take the lead.
Yes.
So that's enough about that. We'll keep bringing that up because I do think, one, I want to do something like that. And I told Wad Zombie last week, like, if he needs somebody to jump in and help him with Fit Wars, I'm willing to bring that back and try to get that going.
Yeah, I love that one. That Colton and what's his name?
Scott Tetlow.
See, that was cool because you pick a workout that both of them are good at and you just Fit Wars. Yeah. I like that.
Get a neutral party to program it and away you go.
Yeah.
Anything to get athletes exposure.
Yeah.
That I'm all in for. So on the next bit of news, Be Friendly Fitness published an article today about the serious contenders in the North America East semifinal. And my two co-hosts were both named in that article.
And Lex was on the podcast today. If you watch it, she was the analyst on there too. She hasn't done a podcast in so long, and she was on there. So you'll have to watch. I made an appearance at the end for like the last 20 minutes.
That's awesome.
She was the one breaking down like a lot of the athletes for the females. So you'll have to watch it.
I'm mad. She
crushed it. Crushed it.
So.
And she gave two or three shout outs to Clydesdale too, by the way. And to you, Jamie. So you'll have to watch it.
I'll watch it right after we get off.
So where Carolyn appears is, other serious contenders he named, I think, like 10 athletes. And then you jump into the next group with Annika Greer, Jordan Sweck. That's not how you pronounce
Chefs.
Doesn't even look like that at all. Brooke Wells, and then Carolyn, Ashley Wozni, Lydia Fish, Bailey Rail, Freya Moosberger, Brittany Weiss, and Haley Adams.
All games experience that have been either team, very, very close, or bubble type games athletes, I would say, in that group that you just
company there.
It's good company.
And so, yeah, you're in good company. And then under the category of Masters contingency, Jamie is named. And actually, I think one of the things he points out is, with the age group workouts being the same as individual this year, there's a real possibility that a couple of these incredibly impressive athletes could be in contention for a coveted top 40 spot. If they do claim one, it will be interesting to see if they decide to compete at the live semi or forego it and focus exclusively to try to make the online semifinal for age group. But he mentions that a couple people were in qualifying positions. You, Amy Morton, and Brittany Bolella, and Tammy Gyorkos would all be going to the North America East semifinal if the Open was the determiner.
Yeah.
You all finished in the top 40.
Yeah.
When, Jamie, when would your semifinals be?
It's May 8th.
See, the timing works, though, because the East, we're week 3.
Right.
So we're the last week. We're the first weekend of June or last weekend of May or something like that. Yep. So that would actually be a good timing. Like, if you qualify, you're going, right?
Oh, yeah. I would still go. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You can say it's been a dream of yours to be at semis.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't get those in-person opportunities. I'd have to take it.
100%.
And it would be a check off the list.
Yep.
That's going to be, no offense, probably a better experience than what you may get. We don't know, right? For the Masters games. Like, there's so many unknowns, and like, that's probably, you know,
yeah.
Why would you turn that down? If I'm a Master, which I am next year, I'm talking about like, if I'm a young gun right now, me next year, if I were to qualify for semis, you know, like I'm in both, like I would be doing both. Right. Mm-hmm.
I think Amy's got a serious shot.
Amy's great. She's so good. She's always done well online too. And Lex talks about her too in the podcast. Like you have to be good at online to qualify for the top 40 because some people are like only good in person or only a good online. Like Amy's good at both. Like I've seen her do some good stuff.
So then first I'm proud of both of you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I can't wait till North America East. I think whether we get sponsors or not, my wife wants to go to Knoxville. So I think we're going to at least that semifinal for sure. And I did put in for my credential.
Where is it? It's in Knoxville, Tennessee. Knoxville. Is that close to Nashville?
What's
the closest airport?
Couple hours.
Is there an airport in Knoxville?
Knoxville has an airport.
So that's where I have to, if I qualify.
So, so then, we have the Spin 25 poll was released today, and I'll share my screen.
None of my picks like made it. I don't know what happened.
It's not in that order.
Yeah,
mine either. And I need this just came out this afternoon. So I did not look at it super close, but I will try to blow this up.
I have not seen it. Ricky in first. What?
So Ricky at 1, Adler at 2, Krennikoff at 3, Vellner 4, Pepper 5. Then Fikowski, Medeiros, Crouch, Jukic, and Koski.
What comp has Ricky done in the off season besides Rogue? He did Wadapalooza. Did he win Wadapalooza?
He did.
I mean, he's been in first since, I think, since Wadapalooza. He's been in first on the poll. So he hasn't moved.
So I took a screenshot of my picks. So I'd have them. So I actually had Adler first. Adler first. I actually had Dallin Pepper second. Vellner third. Ricky fourth. Jay Crouch fifth.
I like that pick.
Saxon sixth. Roman seventh. Medeiros eighth. Koski ninth. Hosta tenth. But I'm a little worried about Hosta just getting to semis.
I know.
If he can get there, I think we're okay.
Yeah, I didn't print. I only took a screenshot of my girls because I didn't have as much movement from the guys, but I think mine lined up a little bit more with yours. I know I had Crouch higher.
Yeah, I can't believe Saxon 14th. He just got hurt last year. Like, why? He's been perennial top 10.
He was the top finisher for North America East in the Open, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he only moved up one spot.
So.
Go back up. I haven't seen this, so I want to see.
Oh, sorry.
Travis Mayer. Is in there. Guy. Sam Cornoy. Bill Leahy. How did he do in the Open?
36th. Is that what that middle number is?
No, that's his total points of people voting.
Oh, they don't show the open placement. Just shows how they finished in the games, which he has a dash.
And then others receiving votes: Hatfield, Self, Hoffer.
Here comes the influence of all of the social, all the media stuff, like the Hiller effect for Bill Leahy, the Taylor versus the world with this. You know, I mean,
yeah.
There's been a lot of hype, right? I mean, on all of these athletes, they've been popping up a lot on my news feed. Taylor, I'm curious about. He's so fit. If his knee is healthy, like for squatting,
like, I know.
He keeps saying he's not going to go to semis. I'm like,
you might do.
Really good. You I'm really impressed by him.
So then on the women's side, there was a switch at the top. Tia drops to second. Laura goes to first. Emma Lawson in third. Alex Kazan, Ariel Lowen, Gabby Magawa, Raptus, Brandon, David's daughter, Powers. Haley Adams to 11th. Emily Rolfe, 12th. And then you can read the rest. I can't believe people has to have Brooke Wells at 16.
That's true. I took Brooke out of my top 25. I took
a lot of newer ones entered this time around for the girls.
Yeah, Spiegel, McQuaid, Greer, and Anganese. Mano Anganese has done nothing but show she's capable.
She's great. When I competed at Rogue 2 years ago, I was extremely impressed by her. Very impressed.
I actually took Amanda Barnhart out of my top 25 as well.
I like seeing Paige up there like that. I feel like she's a consistent athlete that a lot of people always forget about. And she keeps getting better, though. I like seeing that.
Yeah. The top is so tight. If Tia is really compromised... When you get past Laura and Tia, the Emma, Alex, Ariel, Gabby, Alex, I think is super tight.
I don't. Okay. Emma Lawson's not in that group to me. Well, Emma Lawson is in that group with Laura and Tia.
I'm being modest because I have Emma winning.
I do too,
Scott. I think that she's in that group. And I think the next little tier is what you named, you know, but I think Lawson has... She's up there with those two.
So I actually pulled Tia to fifth. on my poll.
I only moved her to third. I just pulled her down.
If her wrist is hurt.
I agree. She probably needs to come, like, she needs to come way down. If, I mean, I don't know. She'll either make it and probably be pretty good by the games and still finish here, or she won't make it. So, I mean, that, I think those are your two options.
She'll do what she needs to qualify.
Well, so I actually,
I wanted to put Ariel back on the podium. So I went Emma Lawson, Laura Horvat, Ariel Lowen, Alex Kazan, Tia, Gabby, Alex, Paige.
Wow.
I think Paige is about to make a jump into that second tier.
It's hard. That second tier is good. Like,
yeah. I still have her down in like 13th.
But Paige is good. She was impressive last year at semis and had a great games.
She had a great semis.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm just saying that second tier after that, to me, the top three is consistent. They're good. Like, if Raptus is healthy, like, she was so impressive last year at the games. Had the leader's jersey for, multiple events. She really only struggled with the sandbag. Two events, the log over and then the squat cleans with it. Or the squat cleans, the squats with the sandbag. Other than that, like, she was really good.
Yeah, I really, my thing with Paige is she just turned 21. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It seems like she's been around forever.
I know.
True.
But it, like, and she's young enough that she can make the bigger leaps. Like, she still has a pretty good upward trajectory.
Would you put Danielle in that second tier too?
I don't know. She's right there. Like, she's my next person out of that tier. I have her right behind Paige.
Like, catching at the games is so good, though. So good. She's a just, doesn't matter.
She even looked incredible at semis last year.
Oh, yeah.
She looked like a different athlete to me.
She finished second at semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, like,
she was a different
athlete. She's a beast at the games. Like, there's just, she's a great runner. She's, you know, great at most things, really. Yeah. If she can make it out of, you know, she's not in Europe. She's in the West. But like, if she makes it to the games every year, like, she's good. Like, she's always within the top 10.
Here's my thing with Danielle. Like, we don't even know what's going on. Like,
I know.
Like, her documentary, they didn't even say the word brute, right? She's not in Jacksonville with the brute team anymore. She's in Nashville, but she's not with Proven. Like, what's going on? And is she getting coaching? Is she?
Yeah, I think Coach L or something like that.
Yeah, I think she's still
coaching a few athletes at that, in that area. Maybe that's good for her.
Maybe.
Just do her thing.
It's weird. I thought her and Dalen played well together, so it's a little weird to move away from that. I would not give up a training partner like Dalen if I had that opportunity.
Well, if the rumor mills are correct, maybe she left for another reason.
Just, I guess, saying. I haven't heard these rumors.
I don't know them.
So, all right. So that is the spin top 25. Looks like we're doing a monthly now.
Sweet.
Which is cool. Because there's a lot going on. We'll have quarterfinals between this one and the next one. So we can make some changes then. And John Young brought back the mountain. But before we talk about that, if you did not see the spin last night, I have a recap for you. So I'm going to go ahead and play that just so you can catch up on the spin from Wednesday night.
Listen, I think Mertens has potential to be. I don't think I would predict it. What are you saying?
What's up with your internet, bro?
You're cutting out again.
Yeah, dude, you I'm and Tyler struggling today.
You're probably making great Mertens. Points, but we can't hear any of them.
Oh, are you serious?
This is what I remember from it. I had a hard time listening to it yesterday.
So that was
oh good.
That was the spin from last night. If you missed it, that's all. That's a complete wrap yeah. up from last night. So, John Young and his dial-up internet. So I'll show the mountain if I can find it. I didn't have this prepared for some reason. Here it is. So here's base camp. I'll show that first. Sure, I will. Here we go. All right. So this is what he has for base camp now. Again, this is from the spin from last night. At the top tier, he has Sprague, Luckett, Mayer, Cornwallier, and Farlow. And then underneath that, Walton, Hatfield, Powers, and Barnett.
Barnett.
Yes, Paige Power.
Barnhart. Did you say
Barnett? Sorry, Barnhart. How can you have Paige Powers and those other three in the same level? She was top 10 at the games. Top 10. Nobody else on this base camp was top 10.
Yeah. I agree with all of these. I mean,
Barnhart has been top 10.
Yeah, but I agree with
that. She had a bad season last year, but like normally Barnhart isn't this low if she's healthy.
Right.
Like this is low for Barnhart and Paige, right? Like it's
I took Barnhart off of my top 25.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think
but there's information for her injury, but I'm just saying like regularly, right? Like if this would be low for both of them.
Yes.
Yeah. But I
just done nothing to be fair. She shouldn't be low like that.
I have Farlow a little bit higher than that in my book, but I can see this.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Mayer there. Yeah. It's Brandon just pages. That doesn't make sense.
Like to me, I would switch and put Luckett at the bottom one because it's been a while for him.
Yeah.
Well,
now he's entering base camp, you know, like he's moving on up now, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to piss Corey off now, but Luckett did what he always does well. He's a great open competitor.
But that's why, like, he wasn't in this before.
No.
So I'm saying he enters at the bottom level.
Agreed. He should be on the bottom line.
But he wasn't in it before, and he hasn't really done anything new, in my opinion, to garner moving on. Okay. So then we have the mountain. Which it's combined male, female, and okay, that didn't work. I thought if I changed it, the stuff in that window, it would change, but no. All right, here we go. So here's the mountain. And okay, I'll let you guys talk. Can you even read it?
Yeah.
I'll zoom into full screen here.
So essentially... The bottom rung is Saxon, Emma Tall, Yella Hosta, Karen Frejova, BKG, Colton Mertens, and Jason Hopper.
Wow.
The next rung up is Koski, Jay Crouch, Haley Adams, Sam Quant, Lazar Jukic, and Katrin David's daughter.
I mean, I don't see how Haley's on the same rung as Jay Crouch and even Katrin.
I mean, if you go off her history, she's probably the top American that's never podiumed. Like, look at her finishes. She's like sixth, fifth, fourth. Like, she's has all these top 10 finishes and close to top fives. If she could be at that level, she would be there. We just don't know. There's a lot of unknown for her.
Exactly. And until we see her.
This is, like he keeps saying, this is just the 2024 games. I don't know enough about Haley yet to for her to be up here.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
Paige Powers deserves to be there and Haley down. Correct. At base camp.
I would agree with you there. I would say, let's see where you're at, Haley. Off of what we know, yeah, she's right. Like, you know, she's, I would even place her higher for what, where she normally is. I think she's in that tier with that second tier that we talked about. If she's back to where she was, she's in that second tier, 100%.
So then the next tier up is Fikowski, Medeiros, Pepper, Brandon, Raptus. Why are we shitting on Medeiros after one bad year?
I mean, I just sort of think that's, where'd you put him? You put him in like seventh, right?
Yeah. I'm lumping myself into it.
Oh, I mean, I just think the men around him have gotten, you know, you got people like Ricky who got injured and didn't make it to the games. Like, somebody's, if you really truly believe Ricky's up there, somebody's got to drop.
Now, the next row is where I have a big
problem. Fikowski's pretty low, I think.
Who's that?
Fikowski.
Yeah, I think Pepper's low.
Yeah, Pepper's been doing really well. That whole row's really good, though. It's hard to know. Like, it.
So then the next level, it's Lawson, Gazan, Magawa, and Lowen. We talked about it earlier. Lawson is on a new level.
I'd put Lawson on the next one.
Yeah, Roman needs to come down and Lawson needs to go up.
Roman hasn't done – Roman at Rogue Invitational, I don't think – I don't know if he was fully recovered, but I was like, okay. And then Wadapalooza, he was there as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not great.
Not great there. Like, he was way back, like, for most of the competition.
Correct. So that's where
what we know.
One, Adler is too low. Krennikoff is too high. I think Pat Vellner's just right.
Yep.
I would put Adler. He has to be on the same level as Girard or higher.
I agree.
Ricky's coming off a shoulder injury. We don't know where he's at. Like, John is putting a lot of faith in some injured people. Or people who took a year off. And then he still has, he even said he probably should have moved Toomey down to even with Horvath.
Mm-hmm.
And he did move Horvath up like a tick.
I do see that.
Yeah.
But I do have to give John Young credit. Like, people make fun of the dude, but everybody knows what the mountain is now.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody tunes in to see it. Like, good on you, man.
I think he's great. I love his intensity. Love it.
Keeps us talking.
I don't always agree with him, and I want to fight with him, like, if he could hear me. But
he's got passion, and you're going to listen because he's just so loud. No.
But I love how everything he says is an absolute. Like, there is no... There's no doubt. There's no wiggle room. There's no gray. It is.
Yeah.
So I've got all my notes covered up now. So that's pretty much it for tonight. I do have, so we were going to do a Wad Zombie show on Sunday night, a new show that we're doing. And it's going to be funny videos and promoting podcasts and all that kind of stuff.
I thought you were starting it last Sunday. I was waiting for it last Sunday. I was like, where was it?
So I don't message you. The whole zombie family got sick. So we had to drop off of it. But what I wanted to do is just share just kind of what it's going to be like. I have some of the videos on my Google Drive. So I'm going to play one or two of them. But gotta find it here. Okay. So the first one is, there is a leaked video, from the testing of individual quarterfinals. Have you guys seen it?
No.
So it'll give you a hint at what maybe one of the quarterfinal workouts is.
Is this a joke? Of course it is. It's Wad Zombie. I would actually like this, not gonna lie.
Why can I see you doing this? Yeah.
So that is a leaked video.
I'm ready for it. I've had lots of practice of that. Just minus the horse.
Yeah, I feel like you would crush that.
I would like that. Bring it on, Wad Zombie.
Actually, I'm the one that made that one.
Oh, I was nice. Doing,
I was channeling. So these are all ones I channeled, my inner Wad Zombie.
I'm going to ask Annika if she ever practiced like that, because she is back, I think, a little bit to riding her horses. I've seen on her stories. If she ever practiced that like that, we should ask her.
So the next one is, do you ever go to a track and field event and the starter didn't put blanks in his gun?
No. That sounds awful.
Are you okay, honey?
I've
seen that video.
Yeah.
Sad.
That gives you a taste of what we're trying to put together.
All right. We got to watch that show then.
Yeah.
So I don't know when we're starting it up. I got to get with Wad Zombie and find out when he's going to be back to health. But those are all from my mind, channeling my inner Wad Zombie, and then he was going to put together some, and we were just going to go back and forth, kind of like a weekend update or something like that. So, and promote other podcasts as well that where we saw like interesting things. So, and on in that vein, like if you haven't seen the Hiller one about standards, sometimes I forget how important standards are. When I first started CrossFit as just average Joe, 450 pounder, it was pounded into me, the standards of getting depth and all of the stuff, 3 points of, I don't know, whatever that my coaching hat is old and rusty, but, you know, having your shoulders above your arms and your hips open and knees locked and all that kind of stuff. It is important because at the end of the day, it's about movement. It's about being able to move in our older age better. And that movement is important. And I thought the video that Andrew did about that, that was good, Andrew. Like that's why it is important. Have we gone over the edge of being like the bat signal in everybody's video? Maybe a little bit. Because I think we have to remember why it is, why the movement standard is important, and not just being mean to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the standard's important. I mean, that's how we have to do the sport, right? For that's the difference between the sport and the methodology. But the problem is we encourage all of the members to take part in the open, right? And they may not be ready to take on some of those standards.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, we're proud that they're doing the open, or they're proud, you know, proud of their effort and stuff. And that's the hard line between, you see them day in and day out in the gym, and, you know, they are getting fitter in terms of, you know, their health and moving, and there's, you know, you still have as a coach to get them to squat below parallel and put the weight down and, you know, teach them. It comes down to the coach, but at the end of the day, I still think that there's a lot of people always in the comments and saying no reps and stuff. And then they're like, oh, my gym, we do it this, and I move this. And then you look at their videos and they're just as bad, if not worse, you know, like it's just a bunch of, you know, and people like even Hiller, right, who's the king of movement standards, and you know, and then you watch some of his videos and people are on him too because of he's, you know, he puts that yeah. bar very high, and then we start looking at angles of videos and all that. But you know, everyone likes to talk the no reps, and then they all act like they move perfectly, and there's no reps for everyone, you know.
Well, that's this week's show. Tomorrow we're having Chelsea Nicholas on the show. I think it is at 2 o'clock Eastern time.
Is that the one that was at the games and the Masters and was winning and then box jumps?
Ruptured her Achilles. Mm-hmm. So we've become good friends, and I've been checking in on her throughout her recovery. So we're going to update that recovery and where she is. I know she's back in the gym going hard. So
she is.
So excited to see where she is with all that. And then Tuesday, it's not even out yet and announced, but Rebecca Fuselet, the champion of 24.3, is going to be on the show 10 a.m. Tuesday morning. That just got confirmed today.
So you're back to doing a lot more interviews lately.
I don't think I'm ever going to go back to the breakneck speed that I was at.
Yeah.
But I am going to pick up a little bit of a few here and there. Kind of, you know.
On your own terms and.
Yeah. Semifinals, there's less semifinalists this year. But I do love doing the semifinal interviews, getting to know the athletes that maybe not everybody knows. And those are usually shorter. So I'll still probably do those. But yeah, super excited. And I have a couple more, you know, fishing lines out there. But with quarterfinals, I know that week will probably be low volume of interviews. But then I'm going to be in Michigan with Jamie, filming her and Haley and Jim. Doing their quarterfinal workouts, and we'll probably do some live shows from that weekend and with everybody there. So that'll be fun. And we'll check in with Carolyn, see how she's doing.
Yep.
I know she's a tight to the vest scorekeeper.
I am.
We'll have to wait till the windows are closed.
I just get very nervous on, like, I don't know people's scores a lot of times. So I'm just like, where's mine? I don't want to give people a redo, and I don't know.
Yeah, I get it.
I have to find people in different regions, I guess, that I can maybe share and see how they are. Cause I don't have a training camp to kind of gauge where I'm at. And if I need to have a better kick in the butt and go harder.
Yeah. We'll probably check in with you Saturday night after you know, the windows are closed.
Yep.
And the leaderboard goes live for at least the first couple.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And with that, thank you for everybody in the chat. You guys are awesome as always. And we will see you all next time on Thursday Night CrossFit Talk. Bye, guys. And I don't have the ending ready. C4 Energy, Extend, and CelluCor are delivering the most effective, best tasting, and highest quality products for you. Get 20% off when you use the code Clydesdale at checkout at C4energy.com. That's C4energy.com. And now back to the interview.